The Defense Department already testing how its Common Access Card, also called a CAC, could hold transit benefits or electronic money for anybody in the military. The Pentagon's test to expand the card's reach into business processes shows the security ID card's impact over the past decade. Mike Butler's the Deputy Director for Identity Services at the Defense Manpower Data Center. He tells Federal News Radio's Jason Miller about what the future holds for the CAC card now that it is celebrating its 10th anniversary.
I don't think we're going to see a lot of visual changes. You know, it's kind of now anchored in federal policy. Some of the things that we will see is maybe some change in the numbering scheme, but there's not going to be any, you're not going to see any big change visually. Inside, I'm hoping that we can finally meet the real goal of what the Army did back 10, 12 years ago, which is to have a lot more applications. So, you know, we've been investigating this part of, you know, with the transit, which is not only just a Washington Metro thing, but which could be cross-country if we were to do this right, and we as a country all work together on that. You know, we're also looking at a purse, which could be used for a lot of applications within the department and outside of it. And I also think having the key stores on there, and I'm hoping that the card will be a lot stronger anchor for digital signatures, because that's just like the most no-brainer thing that we all got to learn to do here in this country, and it just won't seem to like light on us. And here at DMDC, we're all 100% converts to that technology, and there's a lot of people here in the department who have been, but this is something that's got to get out in the country. I guess the last thing is it would be our hope that we would be able to provide some of this technology to retirees and the beneficiaries. That's always been on our roadmap, but there's a money piece that's there that we got to balance that value benefit for that, and we just haven't made that yet.
And I imagine the big one, physical access control. Obviously, logical access, we've heard the statistics. Something like in the first year, 52% of the attacks, the cybersecurity incidents, dropped because of the logical access control. We've heard statistics, for instance, savings from username and password resets that were needed to be done previously. But physical access is probably the next short-term big change that maybe people could see coming to DOD.
There's a couple of initiatives that have finally like grown up around that. There's a Defense Installation Access Control Initiative, which really kind of takes the identity management piece and meshes it in with physical security at an architectural level. I was really pleased to see that when I came back here to the department, but I think there's a lot of promise in that. And unlike a lot of the federal agencies, the Department of Defense is always going to be a huge multi-vendor environment in the physical security realm. So in some ways it's harder for us, but I also think that we've come a long, long way. And there's a lot of security companies who have become converts to this. And that wasn't true even 2 or 3 years ago. I see that as a place that there's going to be a natural progression to that. Not only because of the Department of Defense, but you have Northrop Grumman and Booz Allen who are also, you know, buying into this technology and issuing it to their employees. So you're going to see the commercial guys come into this too.
One thing that kind of stands out is, you know, sometimes there's technologies that you say, oh, that's going to be the be-all, end-all, or that's the killer app. Did you ever have any, when you're looking back over the years, over the last decade, that there was ever, you said that, oh, that's going to be the killer app, and then it didn't turn out that way? Or did you ever kind of say, oh, that's never going to produce amount to much, and then all of a sudden you realize, well, not only did it amount to much, but it's the key piece or one key piece to making this all happen. Can you give me some perspective?
I'll own up that I was never really a big PKI proponent at the beginning. I never saw it as the killer app. But in fact, that is the one that has made this like worth all the money spent on it. And, you know, if you open up the hood and really look at that, and the DOD PKI folks, that, you know, it's a huge capability for the department. I don't think a lot of people understand that. So that really, in my mind, is the killer app. The other piece is, you know, back when we first started, the little 2K smart card was the original one. The mark card, you know, had like 500 data elements on it. Well, we got rid of all that and shrunk it down to who you are. So taking the identity and putting it to the PKI gives you this tremendously powerful tool. So that's one that I became a proponent on, and I think a lot of other people have too. And for me, I think the future of, you know, the next killer app is to see whether or not we can broaden this into business processes that we've never touched before.
You say a couple bold moves. One of them, obviously, you mentioned was about the multi-vendor environment. What are some of the other ones? Was it the Java decision to go with Java? Was that one another one? Or give us some other ideas.
So I think the Java card really was the big one because it's, first of all, you know, it kind of gave you an operating system that was not attached to any of the vendors. It kind of rode above all of their different pieces. So I think that was one. It gave us a lot of flexibility. The other thing is, based on that, just all of the architecture and the work that had done, because Java Card was really a Visa product, which they cast out and put out onto the open market. So they had done a lot of, at least, conceptual design with it. And it was really, at that time, there were a couple of choices. It was the best choice, and you could say that we got lucky, but knowing the people who put all that together, I think they just thought this through really carefully. And it's been a huge success in a lot of cases based on that.
When you look back over the 10 years, and it's amazing the changes that's happened, the fact that the DoD, in many ways, really was the starting point for the de facto use of smart cards across all of government. It kind of morphed into HSPD-12 and the PIV standard, but really started with DoD showing, yes, this can be done, yes, it can be successful, and look at the difference it can make. When you look back over the 10 years, was there anything that surprised you, anything that when you look back, go, wow, I can't believe that worked or that didn't work? Or give me a sense of kind of the history of this from a, you know, kind of looking back over the years.
First of all, I thought it would go a lot faster than it has. So as I've aged, I've become a lot more patient. But again, having left the department and coming back and being gone for 3 years, when you live in it, you just never see any progress, right? But when I came back and went to my orientation, I mean, the first 20 minutes was all about, of a two-hour orientation, was about the Common Access Card. And I was wowed. I was like, oh, my goodness. When you look back to the way we were doing business 10 years ago, the fact that there were all sorts of different ID cards flying all over the department, that there was absolutely no reciprocity. Now I can look back and say, man, we actually like got somewhere with this, and you can see the progress. We still have a long way to go, but I mean, I think it just surprised me that it's taken as long as it has, and that there are still people who argue about it, because even within the department, now you have to go argue with HSPD-12 and presidential directives. So from all of that, I think the HSPD-12 thing was a surprise to all of us. Really got to be a surprise as time went on.
Mike Butler is the Deputy Director for Identity Services at the Defense Manpower Data Center, telling Federal News Radio's Jason Miller about the impact of the CAC card on DOD over the last 10 years. You can learn more about the timeline of the CAC card, including and photos of what the thing looks like over the years, at federalnewsradio.com. 15 after the hour on the Dorbeck Insider on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.